laid out for us last night.
Yes.
Is Jesus' dream your dream? Oh, you know, this room is going to be filled with some dangerous dreams.
Yes,
I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
Because if you're not dreaming dangerously for God, you're going to get beat up by Satan.
Yep.
Let me explain to you what I mean. Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, we see something here that I think is a little humorous.
That's right.
But we got to really look out for if we're not really connected with the Lord.
Yep.
In Acts 19, starting at verse 13, the Bible reads, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed.
Yeah,
they would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them. Okay, can you imagine, right? You're going around trying to be some kind of fake exorcist, right? Trying to drive out demons. And all of a sudden, the demon in the guy you're trying to literally cast out starts talking back to you.
Wow.
He says, hey, one day the evil spirit answered, Jesus, I know.
Yeah.
And I know about Paul, but who are you?
Yeah.
Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding.
Yeah.
When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds.
Yeah.
You see, guys, you don't play around.
That's right.
The devil is trying to take us on out.
Yeah.
And either we're going to be strong for the Lord, either we're truly a threat for the Lord, or we're going to be a target for Satan.
Cool.
Are you with me here, guys?
Yeah.
And so the message this morning is simply dangerous dreamers.
Yes.
We got to be dangerous for the Lord. Because let me tell you, Satan is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And he will take you out. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Why did you get out of bed this morning? Why are you here? Prayerfully, you're looking forward to being inspired by the word of God. Amen?
Yes.
But why? Because you have a vision, because you have a dream to become more like Jesus.
Amen.
And the world doesn't have Jesus' dream. They have the Nigerian dream, which is really the American dream. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Well, what is that? Well, you got to do well in secondary school. Because if you do well in secondary school, then maybe you can get into a great university.
Yeah.
Right? And then, hopefully, because it's not guaranteed, that after you graduate from that good university, you'll get what? A great job.
That's true,
now again, it's not guaranteed that the job will actually pay you. Are you with me?
Right.
Come on, Mitch, right? There's no guarantee. But you're hoping, you have faith that hopefully that will happen, right?
Right.
Well then, after you hopefully get this job, start making some money, you start building a meaningful career. After you find a meaningful career, now maybe you find a spouse.
Talk about that.
Oh, the single brother, where the single brother's at here?
Oh,
okay, you guys heard about that.
Then
you get a spouse, and then you want to find a comfortable home.
Yeah.
After you get this home, you have an average of 2.5 kids, amen? And then you save up enough money to be able to send your kids to school.
Yeah,
yeah, I get how it works here. You pay for them so they can pay for you later, right?
Yeah.
So then you send them up to college so that they can someday support you one day. And then, what do you do after that? You travel the world. And then you retire, and then you die.
Yep.
Yes. That's the dream.
Mm-hmm.
That's the American dream. Also known as the Nigerian dream. I believe, really, the American dream is the American scheme. It's a scheme to pull you away from God. To stop dreaming for God and start dreaming only for yourselves. And guys, you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose behind all this? For people who don't believe in God, it's a hard question to answer. Is my life just to find a job, get married, have some kids, see the world, and die? Is that your purpose for living?
Good question, bro.
Is that your purpose
for
living? Let's find out what Solomon, the son of King David, a man who had all the wealth, all the power, all the wisdom of the world, had to say about this.
Come on, bro.
Ecclesiastes chapter 2.
Okay.
Starting in verse 4. The Bible reads, I undertook great projects.
Right.
I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well.
Wow.
What's a harem? A whole bunch of women.
Yeah.
Ready to do his bidding.
Yeah.
The delights of the heart of any man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me.
Whoa.
And that's pretty bold that he says that, because that means also his dad, King David.
Wow.
He thought he has been greater than King David and probably had more wealth. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yes! When I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun.
Come on, man.
That's deep, bro.
That's deep.
When's the last time you read this scripture? After Solomon got everything, he realized it was all meaningless.
Yes.
It was pointless. All these things I mentioned are enjoyable pursuits. They're nice things to have, but without God, there's no eternal significance.
Say,
guys, people are so willing to sacrifice so much to get things.
Yeah.
They will sacrifice people to get things. Their marriages will go downhill just to get things. People will sacrifice relationships to get things. People will even sacrifice their salvation to get things. I can't come to church because I gotta keep my job. Guys, what are you willing to sacrifice just to get things that the world dreams of? Mm-hmm. Is it a job? Maybe it's a wife. I've seen people leave the kingdom after some girl.
Come.
Status, reputation, what is it for you? What are you willing to give your soul for? You know, there's an American actor named Jim Carrey. You know who he is?
Yeah.
He did The Mask. He did a whole bunch of movies.
Yeah.
And he once said this quote, and this was blowing. He said this: I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see it's not the answer.
Yeah. Wow. That's huge.
That's what Jim Carrey said. He says, you know, I think everyone should get rich. I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not.
That's cool. Come on.
Wow. That's a pretty awesome quote.
Yeah.
See, guys, these are powerful words from an American celebrity. People just say, I want to go to America. And here you have an American celebrity telling you, guys, it's not the answer.
Yeah.
The dreams, the Nigerian dream, the American dream, it's not the answer. So what drives you this morning? Pleasing God or pleasing yourself?
Talk to us, bro.
I got two questions for you, and then I'm sitting down. Question number one, are your dreams a threat or a target for Satan? Are your dreams a threat or a target to Satan? Are you known in the bowels of hell? Like Jesus and Paul, I believe our dear brother Kip is known in hell.
Yes.
Come on. I believe he is dangerous because of the dreams he
has. That's right. Come
on. What about your dreams this morning?
Preach.
Do your dreams, does your life scare Satan?
Oh.
Are you a threat to Satan? Or is he beating you up? Are you really just his target? See, guys, turn with me to Psalms 126. You know, if we're going to be dangerous humans for God, a threat to Satan's plans for the world, we can't get caught up into thinking that what will give us worth and purpose is to acquire things.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that we're going to acquire wealth and purpose through a job, through a wife, through a status. Guys, that means nothing. That means absolutely nothing. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's all awesome things to have. Are you with me here?
Yes, come on.
But if you have a woman and she's not a disciple, then guess what? She's going to lead you to hell.
That's right.
It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Your job, you think that your job is it loves you and cares for you with all your heart. If they find someone better, or if they find someone who will, they can do what your job for less, guess what they'll do? They'll get rid of you.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's just that simple.
That's true.
If your purpose is those things, don't get me wrong, it's great to have those things. But if that's your purpose, Is that what gives you value? Ooh. You're in for a deep, deep heartache.
Yeah.
You know, here in Psalms 126,
come on,
we see a song of ascent. You know, our dear brother Kit laid it out for us last night. A song that the Jews would have sung on their way up the mountain. But mine is the longer message this morning, bro. They have the shorter one. Mine is the longer one. A song they would have sung if as they were released from captivity and exile. Let's read it again.
Amen.
In Psalms 126, I want you to see it for yourself.
Yeah.
In Psalms 126, what does the Bible say? It says here, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy.
That's right.
You know, when I read this passage, I think about the captivity. My captivity, my slavery to sin that the Lord brought us out of. The Lord brought me out.
Come on, Andrew.
You know, the other day when I told you to have a little vigil, a little prayer vigil. Remember I told you about that?
That's right.
Of how that literally the Lord kept vigil on the night of the Passover, as the Israelites were getting ready to leave Pharaoh. The Lord kept vigil over them.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, wow, I wanted to take some time, and I encourage you to do the same, to take some time to remember, wow, you remember what the Lord brought you out of? I remember what the Lord brought you out of. I remember how much I was a slave to impurity, a slave to what people thought of me. I was a people pleaser. I cared so much about what people thought. I would be a deceiver. I'd be a liar. I'd use women. Do you remember the man you were?
Yeah.
Yep.
The slavery that you were in captivity to. And this is powerful because I'm like, wow. When God brought us out of captivity, I realized I didn't have to be a slave to that American dream anymore. I saw so many people that were, you know, they were in school, like, oh my gosh, if I don't get an A on the exam, then I won't get into medical school. If I don't get into medical school, I don't know what's going to happen. My friends aren't going to be happy with me. And if I don't get it, and then if I don't get a doctor, become a doctor, then I can't get married. And if I can't get married, oh, I can't. And they're literally freaking out.
Wow. Yeah.
Guys, I knew of people that committed suicide at Cornell.
Wow.
I got a B on an exam. I cannot get into Harvard Medical School anymore. My life is over. Let me jump into the gorge.
Wow.
Ivy League students, top of their class, committing suicide. Because when they thought that their dreams were cut short and over, they said, I no longer have a purpose for living. How about you this morning? We got to be real careful about what we dream for. We got to be very careful about what we dream for. You know, you guys know my story. Wanting to become a doctor, becoming a hospital CEO. But I realized all those things, do they have an eternal significance?
No.
Don't get me wrong. It's good things to do.
Absolutely.
Great things to do. Saving lives, awesome. But if I take the bullet out of that guy who just came in, and then he goes back out again, and he has the same character, what's going to happen later? He's going to come back with the same bullet in him again.
Sure.
Have I changed his character? Okay, yes, I've saved his life, but what am I doing? I'm just prolonging the inevitable. Are you with me here, guys?
Come on, bro.
What we do as disciples has an eternal significance in people's lives.
Amen.
We don't just get to change their actions, we get to change their hearts.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so, do you dream for that? Do you understand what you're a part of? You know, I appreciate so much Jacques Grunewald.
Come on, dude.
Jacques Grunewald, he was baptized in the Cape Town Church. You know, this is a man that I respect very much. Because what's the typical South African dream? What's the typical South African dream? Everyone wants to go where? To the UK. Right? They want to go to the UK. They want to go to America. What do you think the Nigerian dream is, guys?
Same.
The same thing. The exact same thing. And the thing that, here's a guy. He was baptized in a former fellowship. And then goes to the UK. He's achieved the dream. Working well, great job, gets a part of our Soul Out Movement churches in London. And then the call comes. We need to start a remnant group in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
Will you give up your London citizenship? He was there for what, 7 years, bro?
Yeah.
He had to wait 7 years just to be able to apply for his citizenship. The thing that was made him a citizen of the UK. And he said, Andrew, I'm willing to give up my citizenship. for the UK. I'm willing to give up the South African dream.
Come on, bro.
To have more people to get to my people of South Africa to get to know the truth and so be saved. Would you do that? Would you do that? And you know the funny thing is, when he was willing to give that up, you know what the Lord did? They actually gave him his UK citizenship right before he left to go to Johannesburg. Are you with me right there? So I look at that, I'm like, wow. But you know, it didn't come easy for Jacques. That wasn't a dream. At first, his dreams were not going to scare Satan. I remember sitting over at his place in London. I was like, bro, man, we got to get this thing going in Johannesburg. He's like, yeah, bro, you know, I don't know. It's not really for me, you know. I'm happy here. London's great. The church is great. Why should I go back? Yeah, somebody else can go. And I appreciate his heart. You have to wrestle right there. It wasn't easy. See, guys, having great dreams for God isn't easy.
Yeah.
You got to be a courageous man.
That's right.
To be able to dream. You got to be a dangerous man to dream for God. It doesn't come easy. Any soft boy can have some easy dream in the world. It takes a man to give up everything for God.
Yeah.
Because he understands the eternal significance he's going to have.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I have to ask you this question. What about you? Because when I look at Psalms 126, it talks about how the Lord brought back the captives to Zion. We're like men who dreamed. I have to ask you a question. Why did God save you? Why did God save you? To become an airport worker? To work for the military? To be a lawyer, a doctor? Is that why God saved you? To be an actor?
Fuck the rose, bro.
To be a marketer? IT professional? Is that why God saved you? Is that the only dream you have? Are your dreams literally a threat to Satan? Or are the dreams you have actually going to be used as a target for Satan to pull you right back into the world? Are you with me here, guys?
Yeah.
Wow. I want to challenge you to be careful, because God didn't call you out of darkness for some worldly purpose.
That's right.
God wants to use you to help change the world.
Yeah.
Guys, here's the thing. We need more evangelists.
That's right.
We need more men who are going to raise up.
Yeah.
To go plant in Cameroon.
Amen.
To go plant Ghana.
Amen.
To go plant Tanzania.
Amen.
Yes, we need more evangelists. We need more men. Who will be willing to give up everything.
Come on.
To be able to be used by God.
Amen.
Who don't give in to the selfishness of the world. Who are only looking out for themselves.
Yep.
But decide to say, here am I. Send me. I want to be a threat. I don't want to be a target. I want to be a threat to Satan. I want to put a little shiver in Satan's back, that when he thinks about me, when he thinks about the dreams that I have for God, he gets a little scared.
Come on.
Are you with me here?
Yes, bro.
Guys, it's time to dream.
What is
your gospel? I know what my dream is. I'm looking forward to seeing churches that number thousands here in Nigeria. A church of 1,000 in Johannesburg. A church of 1,000 in Kampala. Are you with me here? Guys, what are your dreams? What dream is going to have an eternal significance? Because remember, there are no U-Hauls attached to hearses. You can't take it with you. Does your dream threaten Satan?
Wow.
Or are you really just a target for him? Guys, it's time to dream for God and not just selfish ambitions. Amen?
Yeah.
My last point. Do your dreams help you to carry the cross or drop it? Do your dreams help you to carry the cross or drop it? Turn over to Proverbs 29.
Come on, bro.
You know, if you don't have a dream for your life, you can get into serious trouble.
Yeah.
My mom always used to say, the devil finds work for idle hands. The devil finds work for idle hands. He'll find something for you to believe in if your focus is not in God. Proverbs 29, verse 18.
Come on, bro.
Take a look here with me.
Come on, bro.
The Bible says this. Now, I'm going to read you the King James Version first. It says, where there is no vision, the people what?
Perish.
Perish. But it's interesting here. In the NIV, it says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off were straight. But blessed is he who keeps the law. So what does this mean? Restraint is essentially self-control. You let go.
Yeah.
Right? You stop holding on. You drop what you're holding on to. And you follow me?
Yes. Come on.
Now, what's interesting here is that if you don't have a vision for your life, you cast off restraint. If you cast off restraint, you let go of the things you need to be holding on to. You lose self-control. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't dream, if you don't have a vision, then what does the Bible say in the King James Version? You will what?
Perish.
You will perish. You know, for me, I had to realize, if I don't have a dream, I get lazy.
Yes.
If I don't have a vision, you get lazy. Are you with me here?
Yes.
If you don't have a goal, you get lazy.
That's right.
If you don't have a goal, you're going to reach it every time because you're not aiming for anything. We need to have some goals as men.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Remember we talked about those goals? Mm-hmm. In our finances, in our fitness, mm-hmm. in our spirituality. We talked about that? Guys, this is huge. When you dream, the good news is you don't perish. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't fall away from God. You hold on to your cross.
Mm-hmm.
You don't set it down. I have to ask you, what are the areas of your life this morning that you've cast off restraint? That you just let go? You're not holding on to any goals or plans anymore. Maybe it's your fitness. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your spirituality or your relationships. You know, this year, this August is going to be 12 years in marriage for Patrick and I.
Come on.
Wow. And being married is awesome. Any singles want to get married?
Yes.
You guys want to get married?
Yes.
I definitely recommend it.
I don't have to.
It's a million times better than being single. A million times better. But single brothers, you got to dream for getting married, but you also got to be surrendered if you don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
But why is it important to this point? Because if you dream, if you have a vision, if you have a dream to get married, right? You don't cast off restraint.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Let me explain to you what I mean.
Come on,
I've noticed some single brothers lately. And I'm not going to talk about them. You know? But I've noticed some single brothers like Charles who on Facebook, they feel like they need to go to the gym.
That's right.
They need to do a little flexing right there. But why? Why do you want to do this?
Talk about a vision.
Because they got a vision. They got a vision to get married.
That's right, bro.
And so, because they're like, listen, I got to be fit.
Yeah.
I want the little sister to be like, wow, who is that guy? Right? I want to go out. I want to make money. Why? So that woman can say, he can take care of me. You see, when you have a vision, then you don't cast off restraints.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. But you know what happens when you get married? Maybe you stop having a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, you just got to cast off restraint. You say, you know what? Maybe I don't need to work out anymore. Maybe I don't need to focus on taking care of my family as much. You cast off restraint because you have no more vision.
That's right, preach, bro.
You have no more dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Where are your dreams this morning, guys?
Preach.
What is the vision that you've dropped? Maybe it's your education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a good talk with a brother the other day. He's like, you know, Andrew, I was trained as an architect, but I can't find a job. I can't find a job. Maybe I should just go, just do whatever job that comes to me, and you know, just make it work. Mm-hmm. And here in Nigeria, guys, it's sad. I've noticed a lot of people have degrees in education and certain things, but they can't find the jobs in
life.
And what does it do? It's Satan's ploy to steal your faith.
Mm.
You want to just drop off, fine. Cast off restraint. And you know, what ends up happening is this is how Satan attacks you too when it comes to sin. Mm. You think, I'm going to be a pure man, and then you blow it. Mm. You had the vision of being a pure man, but then you blow it. You're like, well, you know what? Since I've blown it, I might as well go all the way.
Yeah.
You just cast off restraint.
Mm. That's right.
You drop your cross.
Yeah.
You stop holding on,
no, Andrew,
to it. You know, the truth is that even Jesus dropped the cross.
Mm.
Even Jesus dropped the cross during the torture of Calvary.
Mm.
But you know what? He had an African. He had an African named Simon.
Go on.
He said, hey, bro, I'm going to help you.
Simon?
I'm going to help you carry your cross.
Yes.
We need to help each other carry our crosses. Do your dreams help you carry the cross?
Yes.
Or are they making you drop it?
Mm-hmm.
See, guys, this morning I have to ask you, where are you really? And again, I make a final point here. If you don't keep your vision, you're going to perish as a disciple. And I think sometimes we think, oh, okay, you know what? I just don't want to sin. My vision is I just don't want to sin. That is not going to keep you faithful. That's not going to keep you faithful, guys.
Right.
We're in a marathon. I'm trying to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to get to heaven?
Yes.
That's the dream. That's what we're trying to get as many friends there as possible. This is huge, guys. If we're not focused on that, then we're going to drop the cross. We're going to drop the cross of self-denial. Because our focus and our dream is not in heaven anymore. It's just on what we can see. Turn over to Matthew 28. We'll close out here. You know, doubt is part of the battle for faith.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to stop us from dreaming. Even the disciples doubted. But you got to decide whether you're going to keep your dream. No matter the obstacles, no matter the issues, no matter whether they pay you or they don't pay you.
Goodbye, bro.
That's right.
I'm going to hold on to the dream.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drop my cross.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it to the promised land. You know, the Bible says here in Matthew 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Hold on a second here. Aren't they seeing Jesus in the flesh?
Yeah.
Isn't this the very dream that they were hoping for, that he would resurrect? Even after the dream happened, they're still what?
Doubt.
They're still doubting. That's just human nature, isn't it? Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to what? Obey everything I've commanded you. See, that was Jesus' dream.
Come on, man.
It's always been Jesus' dream. Even when we doubt, it doesn't stop the dream.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't kind of give in to them and say, oh, I know, life is so hard. Yeah, it's okay, your job lets you go, your job has been paying you, or it's okay, that sister that you wanted didn't work out for you. Maybe you should just go back to the world now. What did Jesus say? He said, go make disciples. When your job wants to stop you and discourage you, he says what? Go make disciples. When you think, I don't know, will I get the money? Will a girl marry me? What does he say? Go make disciples. The dream doesn't change.
That's right.
You know, you going and making disciples, you may just find your wife.
That's right.
You going and making disciples, you may just find the guy that gives you a job.
Yeah.
You going and making disciples, you see, God's dream is perfect. Our dream is not.
Yeah.
Do you want to live for God this morning?
Rich.
Before yourself. The good news, he says here, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He is the most dangerous dreamer the world has ever known. He dreamed the world must be evangelized, guys, and so must we. But here's the thing. Some people don't think the world needs to be evangelized.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes you may even doubt it yourself.
Yes.
But what's the dream? Is Jesus going to back down? Is he going to say, oh, really? It's really hard to baptize here. No! What is he going to say? Go make disciples!
Yeah.
Oh, but bro, there's so many Pentecostals here. How are we going to go make disciples?
Yeah.
Oh, people, their jobs, their issues, they got so many churches to go to. What is he going to say? Go make disciples!
It
doesn't stop. The dream doesn't stop because of the doubt. Do you dream like Jesus? Is seeing the world evangelized still your dream? Do you still want to see your family become Christians? Do you believe that can happen, guys?
Come on, bro.
Or do you doubt? Jesus says what? Go make disciples.
Yes.
You know, I close with a quote that Kip read last night. I don't think we really understood, so I'm going to read it to you again.
Okay.
Come on. He says, all men dream, but not equally. That means they're small dreams and they're big dreams. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds, waking up in the day to find it was just vanity. It wasn't real. But the dreamers of the day are what? Dangerous men. For they act out their dreams of what? Open eyes to make it possible. This I did. See, guys, we're not here to dream in our sleep. We're here to live out our dreams. Open eyes to change the world. Selfish dreams are small. Selfish dreams are not going to evangelize the world.
Right.
God's dream will affect the world.
Amen.
And so here it is. I got to ask you those two questions. Are your dreams a threat to Satan? Or do they make you a target for him?
Preach, Dr. Ross.
Are your dreams, guys, here this morning? You gotta really ask yourself here. Are your dreams gonna help you to carry the cross and make it to heaven? Or are your dreams, sadly, gonna make you drop it and go to hell? Guys, I wanna get to heaven this morning.
Yeah. Come on.
I wanna be with my Lord this morning. I wanna be successful for God and not just for myself. And so I wanna challenge each and every one of you to start having kingdom dreams.
Right.
You have so many dreams for your life. Right. Let me ask you, what's the kingdom dream you have? Who are gonna be the next song leaders? Who's gonna be the next evangelist? Who's gonna be the next guys who raise up to serve God's kingdom around the world? Are all your dreams for yourself or for God?
Amen.
Good question, bro.
That's really the question, guys. Yeah. We gotta stop wishing for things to happen and start believing and having faith and courage in God to make it happen.
Amen.
I've heard it said the reason why some people don't succeed, you know why?
Right.
It's because their wishbone is where their backbone ought to be.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
They're always wishing. Oh, I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. I wish I could do this. It's time to get a backbone. It's time to have faith and courage in the power of God. Let's dream for God. Let's fight fear. If the spine of Satan be a dangerous shield for God. Amen.
Hey,
God bless.
Amen.
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 Amen.